ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 13, Text Number 6. Kvachit vityaya sarito abhyati parasparam chalasate niradhaya asadya dvayam kachit agnitapto Nirvidyate cha yakshir rishayasu. Translation by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. Sometimes the conditioned soul jumps into a shallow river, or being short of food grains, he goes to beg food from people who are not at all charitable. Sometimes he suffers from the burning heat of household life, which is like a forest fire. And sometimes he becomes sad to have his wealth, which is as dear as life, plundered by kings in the name of heavy income taxes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. When one is hot due to scorching sun, one jumps sometimes into a river to gain relief. However, if the river is almost dried up and the water is too shallow, one may break his bones by jumping in. The conditioned soul is always experiencing miserable conditions. Sometimes his efforts to get help from friends are exactly like jumping into a dry river. By such actions, he does not derive any benefit. He only breaks his bones. Sometimes, suffering from shortage of food, one may go to a person who is neither able to give charity nor willing to do so. Sometimes, one is stationed in household life, which is compared to a forest fire. Sansara dava nandadida loka. When a man is heavily taxed by the government, he becomes very sad. Heavy taxation obliges one to hide his income. But despite this endeavor, the government agents are often so vigilant and strong that they take all the money away, and the conditioned soul becomes very aggrieved. Thus people are trying to become happy within the material world. But this is like trying to be happy in a forest fire. No one need to go to a forest to set it ablaze. Fire takes place automatically. Similarly, no one wants to be unhappy in family life or worldly life. But by the laws of nature, unhappiness and distress is forced upon everyone. To become dependent on another's assistance is very degrading. Therefore, according to the Vedic system, everyone should live independently. Only the Shudras are unable to live independently. They are obliged to serve someone for their maintenance. It is said in the Shastras, Kalo Shudra Sambhavaha. In this age of Kali, everyone is dependent on another's mercy for the maintenance of the body. Therefore, everyone is classified as a Shudra. In the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that in the Kali Yuga, the government will levy taxes without reciprocally benefiting the citizens. Anavristaya vinakshyanti durbhishaka kara piditaha. In this age, there will be always shortage of rain. Therefore, a scarcity of food will arise and the citizens will be very much harassed by government taxation. In this way, the citizens will abandon their attempts to lead a peaceful life and will leave their homes and earths and go to the forest in sheer disappointment. So the shloka ki jai. So this wonderful chapter, Raghugana, that's the king, a Sindhi king from Sindh, converses with Jada Bharat, who was none other than king of all the universe, Bharat, the first son of Rishabhdev. He had the boon that he would not forget what his original spiritual master taught him. That is none other than Saktavesh Avatar Rishabhdev. So actually speaking, Jad Bharat learnt everything originally from none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishabhdev himself. Now let us understand the five most essential things which Lord Rishabhdev had taught. That's all right, don't worry. These things happen in material life. We just went through it. So we should take everything for Krishna's mercy. These are the five principal things that his Guru Maharaj had taught him, Rishabhdev. The first comes in canto number 5, chapter number 5, text number 1. Lord Rishabhdev told his sons, and the principal son, number 1, is none other than this very same Bharat king who becomes Jad Bharat. But he remembers teachings of his. And we'll come to later how he forgot and how he re-remembered. My dear boys, all the living entities who have accepted material bodies of this world, like us, one who has been awarded this human form, like us, should not work hard day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for dogs and hogs that eat stool. And then he explains a great deal. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position. So our right, spiritual right, is to achieve the divine position. One should engage in penance and austerities to attain the divine position. What is the divine position? Of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. It's not possible to purify one's heart without performing two things: engaging in penance and austerity, which brings us to a divine position, which gives us chance for devotional service, which we are doing right now, right here. By such activity, one's heart is purified of what? Kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsa. These six sticky anarthas need to be purified, he says. Lord Rishabhdev tells his sons. And you, my sons, can only do it by this method. And when one attains this position, he attains what? Eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness. So we have got material happiness and material distress in this world. But if we want to transcend this material happiness, which is accompanied by material distress, like just as we go somewhere, we have the shadow following us. So material happiness is like that, and the shadow is like material distress. It's bound to be there. And this continues forever, he says. If you don't break this cycle, it'll continue forever. So you have no choice but to break this cycle once and for all. So this was the basic fundamental thesis of Rishabhdev, point number 1. Point number 2, one can attain the path of liberation from material bondage only by rendering service to highly advanced spiritual personalities. Now, fortunately for us, we did get a chance to serve Srila Prabhupada directly and indirectly. There are two ways you can serve someone. You can, for instance, be a secretary in the office of someone. Then you are serving him as a PA.
directly, day to day. He gives you direct instruction, you give direct reply, and you directly work. However, you can be a general manager of a factory 1,000 kilometers away. You may in Bombay, but your general manager is 1,000 kilometers away. How do you communicate? On the phone, or by fax or something. Long distance communication. We are now getting long distance communication from Prabhupada. So we are serving Prabhupada. We are the general managers or managers or even chaparasis or watchmen or cleaner, whatever it may be. But we are getting these instructions from Prabhupada. From where? From his headquarters, the spiritual world. What is he? Prabhupada is the commander-in-chief of Sri Chaitanya's army, Lord Chaitanya's army. Mora Senapati. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has himself certified Prabhupada that he is a commander-in-chief. Mora, mine, Sena, army, Pati, commander. So, we have established two facts. The first fact we have established is we have a right. All of us have a right. And it's stupid if a person does not implement his right. It's really stupid to just think in terms of material rights and material implementation. The Constitution of India, because many of us in this room are Indians, fall under the Constitution of India. So we have rights under Section 19 and particularly 19G. We have fundamental rights of freedom, we have fundamental rights of speech, of movement, etc., etc. But those rights are for the body. Nowhere in the Constitution of India or any constitution of any country of the world gives any talk, even one word, of the spiritual life, of the spirit. What is the constitutional position of the soul? Only Srila Prabhupada has explained. There has never been before Srila Prabhupada anyone, you may talk of X, Y, Z, I don't want to give personal names, some people who are glorified with big, big statues in this country, that this fellow went here and there and everywhere. But did they give us our true constitutional position? No. Only Prabhupada gave us our true constitutional position. And therefore, with that position comes a right. Just as, if I am a managing director of a company, I have a right. But then, most important, I have a responsibility. And along with the responsibility comes accountability. I am accountable. And therefore, we are also having responsibilities, rights, and accountability. It is foolish for a soul like us to think that we don't have responsibility. We are not supposed to be here forever, because that's what Rishabhdev told his sons. You may continue forever if you think you are after material happiness. Because material happiness is chased by material distress, and that is triggered again by material happiness. So it's a non-ending engine. It doesn't require any fuel, whether it's $67 a barrel or whatever dollars a barrel. It will just go on and on. So that is stupid to continue in that manner. So these personalities, these highly advanced spiritual personalities, are of two varieties according to Rishabhdev. Impersonalists and devotees. So either you can go after an impersonalist and serve him, or you can go after a devotee and serve him. Whether one wants to merge into the Lord's existence or wants to associate with the Mahatmas, that is our choice. So, Rishabhdev offers to his sons, and for those who are not interested in such activities, who associate with people fond of women and sex, the path to hell is wide open. I'll come to that later. The Mahatmas are equipoised. They do not see any difference between love, one living entity and another. That also we'll discuss. They do not see any difference between one living entity and another. They are very peaceful and are fully engaged in devotional service. They are devoid of anger. See, there is a difference between anger and reproachment. If a person has misbehaved, Prabhupada used to reproach him. He used to show by his grunt. He used to show by his eyes. Huge big eyes he had. He used to sometimes comment. but he would never get angry. Anger is a form of fire. Fire means burning. Burning means something is destroyed. Prabhupada never destroyed anybody or anything. He created. So his rapprochement was one of triggering somebody to a higher platform of spiritual realization. Stopping something wrong and encouraging something right. That's what Prabhupada did. And they work for the benefit of everyone. They do not behave in any abominable way. Such people are known as Mahatmas. So definition of a Mahatma. Three. See, I told you there are five principles. Basic principles that Rishabhdev taught his sons. And we should actually put this in our lives because they are wonderful principles which apply even today to all of us. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness, most important. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness and increasing the love of Godhead, most important. Do not like to do anything that is not related to Krishna. Obviously, if you want to increase your consciousness for getting more money, what do? You keep on looking at money. I've seen people, when they get up in the morning, before even they brush their teeth, they open their tijori. Mera paisa to barabar hai na. Everything what I put at night is still there or some thieves have taken it away. And they start counting the notes even before they brush their teeth even. They make sure that all the assets are in position. That is their money. And when they go to sleep, they are dreaming of what? Money. Whereas Prabhupada's young, fresh devotees who were just hippies few months ago, they used to dream of Krishna even at night. I know that Giriraj Maharaj once told me that very often they would not only dream, they would speak even in the night, in their sleep. And Prabhupada once was told by his commander of the temple that Prabhupada is they're disturbing us by talking about Krishna. Oh, wonderful. Krishna katha in their sleep, even at night, wonderful. So that commander had nothing to say further. So this is the important thing. Just try to understand. Today, I'll give you another example. About 5,000 years ago, the most valuable things were cattle. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. The wealth of Nanda Maharaj was the number of cows he had. And that was a measurement. Because from that came ghee and came butter and so on and so forth. Property, land, rights became another big issue thereafter. Jarasandh wanted more and more property, for instance. Subsequently, we developed other property rights, such as metal. Money was measured in terms of not cattle or wealth of this one, land, but in terms of pieces of gold or copper or silver or whatever. So we are deriving from one level to another level of wealth. Because wealth is very important. It is one of the great opulences of the Lord. And today, as stated in the shloka we did today morning, everybody is chasing after wealth. So I'm just delineating exactly step by step what was considered wealth. Cattle was considered wealth. Thereafter, property was considered wealth. Thereafter, metal was considered wealth. But then some bright idea came that we can't have so much metal, so let's have paper. That happened in China, actually. Chinese invented paper. They are very inventive people. So they made what is known as paper currency, which we are using today. Actually, when I went to Deva's printing press once, that is belonging to the Reserve Bank of India, where they print these notes, I asked the general manager, what is the cost of printing a 100 rupee note? He said 17 paisa. So real value of the paper, the ink, the cost of printing, the depreciation of the machinery, the interest burden on it thereof, the cutting, the distribution, etc. costs. If you go on a cost analysis, it's total 17 paisa. So 100 rupee note, really speaking, in terms of cost, is 17 paisa. But that is the illusion. That is what everybody is after. I want more of these 100 rupee notes. Then they came with 500 rupee notes. must cost 17.5 paisa, little bigger. A 1,000 rupee notes must be at the most 18 paisa. Little color of ink is changed, red or instead of blue or green or whatever. That's all. So, in reality, what happens is that we are now chasing after an illusion. We think this money is going to solve all our problems, whereas it cannot solve all our problems. Prabhupada says the only solution is Krishna consciousness. Excuse me. After this flood in Bombay, I brought some boiled water. So, what is our solution? What is this real solution? Krishna consciousness. Actually speaking, on Tuesday, it occurred to me last night only while preparing for this lesson, I am going to, on behalf of ISKCON, register for intellectual property rights, Krishna consciousness, and the Mahamantra, as a property of ISKCON. And anybody wants to use it has to pay royalty to ISKCON. Because it's our property. Bap ka maal hai. Krishna says that sarva bhuteshu amprat bit pita. I am the seed giving father. So if this is my father's property, I know when my father left me property, I know what I had to do. So it is our duty as a son to actually register this in the name of the father and see that it is not misused and taken away, usurped by the kings who are like thieves and rogues, as stated in the Bhagavatam. Because that's bound to happen. Someday somebody will say, hey, mera maal hai. This is my property. They try to register basmati in America as an American rice. They try to register haldi as an American condiment. See, these things do happen. Because after all, this world is a world of cheaters and the cheated. This is Kali Yuga. We must accept reality, ground realities. And very few oases are there, such as this one here, where you won't find such type of people. Because they'll be discussing Lord Rishabhdev. So Rishabhdev's third thesis was, those who are interested in reviving, means already there is Krishna consciousness, we have forgotten, so we have to revive. Those who are interested in reviving Krishna consciousness, which leads to what? Increasing their love of Godhead. Do not do anything that is not related to Krishna. Okay. The fourth principle he established, which is thereafter taught by Jad Bharat to Rahuguna, King Rahuguna. Actually, the living entity should not have taken the material body. Rishabhdev says to his sons, the living entity should not have taken a material body. Anyway, make the best of a bad bargain. You got it. You are in it. But he has been awarded the material body for his desires of sense gratification. So we had sense gratification desires, mainly lust to start with. Lust of either opposite sex or lust of money or lust of power or position, recognition, etc., etc. Thereafter, I think it is not befitting for an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification. Okay, so you have involved yourself. Now at least you realize and get out of this once and for all. By which he perpetually gets, again the word perpetually, perpetually means forever, gets material bodies one after another. Again he is repeating. In Sanskrit, whenever a thing is repeated means they are emphasizing that you have got it 84 lakh times. Now what the hell? Why do you want to get back again and again into this material body? Vishwa Bhagavan is teaching his sons. And the fifth important issue is, as long as one does not inquire about the spiritual value of life, one is defeated. So here is a definition of victory and this is a definition of defeat. So how do you get victory? You get victory by asking. It's a very simple thing. You can win the war against Maya by only inquiring. Is there in Bhagavad Gita? Lord Krishna himself says. What does he say? Inquire. How? Submissively. If you inquire just submissively, from whom? From your guru. Then you are already on the path of victory. You have left the path of defeat. There are two paths. One goes to defeat, the other path goes to victory. So you are already on the path of victory. Subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. Because the path of defeat is the path due to ignorance. Actually a child, Prabhupada, this morning only while shaving I was listening to Prabhupada's one wonderful lecture. He says that, it's a beautiful example he gives. I must give you this example. He says that if you go to a rose plant, you go approach a rose plant, rose tree, it's a plant, and you say, I want a rose. In your mind, you made up your mind, I want a rose from it. The rose plant will give you a rose. That's all it will give you. If you tell that same rose plant that I want champa, you won't be able to do it. Because it's consciousness. This is very important. Prabhupada has explained such exquisite detail and perfection. What is, how consciousness works. So you have approached this rose plant. You have told the rose plant, I want rose. Merrily take as much roses as I have. So take away the roses. Now the same rose plant, if you say, I want champa, nothing. You won't understand it. Nothing. Nothing will happen. In due course of change of ritu, means weather conditions and climate, new rose will come to you. That's all. So it is in a fixed program. There's a fixed program for the rose plant. Because that jivatma in that rose plant has a consciousness which has a certain fixed program. As you go to higher, Prabhupada says, as you go to a higher level of consciousness, we are starting from the more jad, because we are talking of jad bharat, more jad was a stone, where even if you go to a stone and you ask for a rose, you are not going to get anything. So the stone delivers you nothing. Okay. Rose plant delivers you a rose. Then you go to an animal or something, you know, and that can give the animal, yes, a well-trained animal, that is the question of training, can do certain things for you. For instance, a trained buffalo, bull, will plow your field. The trained buffalo can dehusk rice for you and so on and so forth. The dog, for instance, is trained, he can protect your property by howling or shouting at night or whatever, or biting or chasing the thief. So you can do either of the three things. So there are three functions then. The consciousness has reached that level of three functions. But now Rishabh Dev has said you have reached the human consciousness where you can do unlimited number of activities. You see? So you all understood the levels of consciousness is going from the stone where nothing happens, it's just total jad, then partially jad, like a rose plant, Prabhupada. This morning only explained, see how nice. I was thinking in my mind, what shall I speak about besides this? And immediately, within seconds, by starting that iPod, this lecture starts of Prabhupada. I mean, it's inconceivable. I have found it repeatedly happening. I'm preparing for a class and immediately Prabhupada gives me, speak this. I just repeat word by word. So this is a beautiful example Prabhupada has given. So it's only at the human stage of our existence, whether you're a man or woman, it doesn't matter a hoot. It's at that level where you can have unlimited options. Unlimited options. You could sit here, you could go out, you could run, you could play, you could do anything. Somebody asks you for a rose, yes, I'll give you rose. Somebody asks champa, yes, I'll go to Prophet Market and get champa for you. In fact, you can do so many things which at no time you could have done before. But one thing only Krishna is asking. Out of all these multifarious millions of options, revive your Krishna consciousness. Because that only helps us in the long term. In the short term, yes, you may get material happiness, but that is for seconds. Every married person knows that. It's of no value. Eventually, it's of no value. Because what is the, it's going to only cause future problems. So, I would like to just... How much time is there? How long do we go on? 9:30? Okay, whatever you say. So, first of all, Jad Bharat remembered his original teacher, means Risha Bhagwan's teaching. Last week, I think one of the devotees had asked that when, who was his guru, how he came to ask such. It's there in the Bhagavatam, earlier chapter, that Jad Bharat remembered, you see, what his guru had taught. We, unfortunately, forget what our guru teaches. So we have to be kept on retold or re-instructed, because in Kali Yuga, it's very easy to forget. Most easy thing is to forget. You don't have to make an effort. On its own, it will happen. In the case of a tape recorder, at least you have to press a button, and there has to be a battery in there or power source to erase the damn tape. But here, in our tape recorder, in this body, there's nothing. You just go to sleep, next day morning, you've forgotten everything. You see? In fact, I remember when I was in the student days in class, the exam at 10 o'clock in the morning, by 9 o'clock I was blank. I'd forgotten everything. It happened so often. You see? But fortunately, Krishna says, 15:15, sarvasya chaham radhi sannivishto smrutir gnanapovanancha vedesya sarver aham eva vedyo vedanta krutvet. So, I give you knowledge, I give you remembrance, and I give you forgetfulness. So, we should thank Krishna for all three. Now, the most important thing in this world, or even in this universe, or in all creation, including the spiritual world, is Krishna consciousness. Please remember, everyone is, in this age of Kali Yuga, there is not a single person I have found who doesn't need money. They need money. So wealth is the most important priority. Somehow I must have some money. Maybe not too much, maybe something. But he needs it. He forgets that he needs Krishna consciousness. Because that wealth is only for his body upkeep. The moment he dies, even if you have tons of rupees, it's not going to help you at all. But if you have tons of Krishna consciousness, it's bound to help you a lot. And that is our real wealth. And Srila Prabhupada gives the example, as I mentioned, about this rose. And yes, so along with consciousness comes responsibility. Just as a dog, he knows that he's not going to get his next meal unless he catches thieves or he does something. He wags his tail, pleases his master, does some service for his master. And then the master pats him on his head, good doggy, and gives him a biscuit or whatever. You see? So, we have to become like Krishna's dog. That's what Prabhupada says. And he says that this is a dog collar. So, every dog has a collar. Now, not every dog. The street dog does not have a collar. That's the whole point. Prabhupada was saying that there are two varieties of dogs. Those who know that they have a master, and therefore they serve a master, and therefore they get the benefit from the master. We should know that who is our master, not Maya, not the rupee notes printed at 17 paisa at Reserve Bank of India, but it is Krishna who is the master. Sarvasva Bhuteshu Ampraj Bitpita. And there are so many shloks which says that Krishna is the original spiritual master. Even Adi Shankaracharya, I was talking to a big group of, my friend is not here. So, we had gone to Bangalore, to the headquarters of, after many, many years, I went to associate with Mayavadis. But there, this was a very big group of modern Mayavadis who come very regularly on Indian TV and everywhere and go to Davos and places like that. And this Acharya of theirs, very nice man, basically. He was kind enough, nice, because he invited me to be the keynote speaker. But little did he realize that I will talk only Prabhupada's philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And their Adi Guru is Adi Shankaracharya, obviously. And I started with whatever Adi Shankaracharya taught. So they were put totally at ease. Ye apna wala aadmi hai. Because the moment you speak what others like to hear, this is the first principle of salesmanship. You know, I tell you, my father, he studied in Karachi, in Sindh. So the Bombay University had an engineering college called NED Engineering College in Sindh, in Karachi. Karachi was part of Bombay Presidency in 1934. So he acquired the habits of those Sindhi gentlemen there. Because your man is known by the company he keeps. You are in this company, you are known by this company. If you go to Sindh and Karachi, you are known as a Karachiwala. So he became practically a Karachiwala. So he taught me how marketing is done. First, please the customer. Now, I think back and how Prabhupada started his marketing in New York. He made the world's best, what? Gulab Jamuns. These corn bullets, they were called by these. Americans didn't know what to call them. So they had been hit by these bullets. And their consciousness changed by these very succulent, juicy gulab jamuns. So, thing is, first to please a person. So, why are we doing all this paraphernalia and nice things and making Archanam, Vandanam, Vishnu, Smaranam and all that, to please Krishna? It's a basic principle. Krishna likes to be pleased. But he does not like hypocrisy. He can see through it immediately. That you are trying to please for your own sense gratification, or are you trying to please for his Rishikesha, Rishikena, Seveya, Bhakti Uchate. By doing service for Krishna, Rishikesh is master of the senses. Rishikesha, Rishikena, Sevaya, you do Sevaya, then Bhakti Uchate, then Bhakti is born, which we described already, is the eternal symptom of the soul. And if you are associated with others who are in the same path, that gives you impetus. So coming back to my late father, he understood that one has to market a product properly. So one has to see what the customer wants. One has to see what the other person wants. One has to give a small sample also, free of charge if necessary, of meeting that person's requirement. Once a taste is developed, then he is hooked on, just like a fish on the hook. He gets a little bit, then he's hooked on. So, we were talking about Lord Rishabhdev. What Lord Rishabhdev is telling us is, he's telling his sons, of course, and now it is the turn of his eldest son, Jad Bharat, means in his next avatar, to tell Rahugona, preaching. Because what Prabhupada says is, every person born in this Bharat Varsh, of course now we are talking of Bharat as India, but originally Bharat included this whole world, has a duty to perform. The duty given by his father. Krishna has told us that spread Krishna consciousness. You see, that's an 18.66 is Sarva Dharma Pratyagam Maham Vikam Sharanam Vajja Am Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Shami Masacha. And the next shloka is, the one who teaches this is very dear to me. In fact, if you know that in the whole Bhagavad Gita, the 12th chapter is known as Bhakti Yoga, and from the 12th verse of that 12th verse, yes, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karuna Evacha Nirmamo Nirahankara Samadukha Sukhakshami Santusta Satatam Yogi Yathatma Dradanishchaya Mayarpit Manor Buddhiryo Yomada Bhakta Same Priya. First time in the whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, who is dear to him? Yomada Bhakta Same Priya. Yasmano Dvijate Loko Lokano Dvijate Chaya Harsha Marshabhayo Dvegai Mukto yasacha bhakto yasacha mepriya. Again he says, isn't it? Yo na rishyati na dveshti na saunchati na kaunchati subha subha parityagi yo mad bhakta se mepriya. Fourth time. How many times he has to say? I mean, when you tell somebody, I've told you 3 times, you are a nutcase. How many times I have to tell you? Here Krishna is telling him 8 times between 12th and the 20th shloka. He keeps on repeating. Samasutreshu. What does he say? What is that? Mitreshu. Pachi. After that? Yes. Mana pana. No, I'll tell you. I got it. Samasatrashu mitreshu tathamana pamanayo sitoshna sukadukeshu samasangar vivarjita tulya ninda stutirmoni santushto yenakena chit aniketa stirmatir bhakti man me priyonara. Amongst men, that means even cows are very welcome. He is very much loved by him. But amongst men, he has specified who is very dear to him. I think that is in shloka number 18. And then, what is the last one? 20th one? Yanarashyati na dveshti na saunchati na kaunchati subhashubha parityagi bhakti man me priyonara. Yes, Mataji, please. Ye tu? Yes. Ye. Wonderful. See, Matajis are better than us. I've always known. My wife tells me. So that's how I know. Fortunately, I have a wife who is also fond of Krishna consciousness. She reads the whole Bhagavad Gita every day for the last about 27 years. Every day. All 800. How many? 700. How many shlokas are there? 700 shlokas. Every day. So she is a master. Fortunately, it's very strange if you have a good wife, it is the greatest boon. I can tell you that. Because instead of being a, what is that, we are a grahasthi and grahamedhi. So, But the important thing is that when we, this is the important thing. We as human beings, I'm coming back to that rose example. We as human beings are so intelligent, okay? That intelligence has come from Krishna because he has said himself in the 15.15. We can create a greenhouse in which a rose, which cannot deliver us in the, I've seen in America, when it gets to minus 30 degrees centigrade or minus 40 even centigrade, which is same as minus 40 Fahrenheit. So, nothing can grow. The ground is absolutely solid like a rock. So, the rose plant, if you ask it, I want rose, it can give only during certain seasons. But a human being can create an artificial greenhouse and he can make rose even for winter. That's how in European countries they get flowers in the winter. So, that means you can change your environment, you see. Human being can do that. To an extent where we can genetically even alter. Right now they've altered some Afghan hound, and before that there were Dolly. They did all sorts of things with some, what was it, sheep, I guess. First was a sheep, University of Edinburgh, and so on. So what they've done, I was asking Prabhuji, my very good friend, Rishabhanu Prabhu, to help me, because he is really the expert. So what we have understood now, that's how those two guys, who was that name? Professor Crick. He got that Nobel Prize. They found out what is an RNA and what is a DNA. So, ribonucleic acid and the nucleic acid. These are both acids actually, which are the, one is the software and the other is the hardware. Okay. Everybody should understand this. Because the body is composed of two things, basically, at the end of everything. The RNA and the DNA, which is the thing everybody knows. So, the one triggers, message deta hai, piche se kaam karta hai, as they say in Hindi. And the other fellow was doing all the donkey work in the front. So, the DNA does all the building, isn't it? Protein building. So, once we understand that this is all a play of RNA and DNA, Why should we get involved in this RNA-DNA play? You see? Because then we have to live by the rules of RNA and DNA. We can very well enjoy eternal association of Krishna. Because the soul, Jivatma, has no RNA and DNA. That's the whole point. None of those spirals are there in the soul. Because the soul is 1/10,000 of a tip of a hair. It is part and parcel of Krishna. It's not part and parcel of RNA and DNA. Because therefore I feel that the whole shloka that Jadbharat had taught, Raghuna, is so important because it is based on the Shastras. It is based on the teachings of such a great personality of Lord Rishabhdev. In fact, when I preach to these Jains, they love it because they say, Rishabhdev to amaro che. You know, our, apna wala hai. So I say, yes, Rishabhdev is yours. The same Sindhi marketing policy. After all, yours. I have not done anything new. But you accept now. So I go and preach to the Jains, just like I went to this Mayavadi headquarters and started with Adi Shankaracharya. Adikesh is my godbrother. So Adi Shankaracharya. What did Shankaracharya say? His basic philosophy was, what was his philosophy? Let's see. What did I start with? I said that Devki Nandanayacha Nanda Kumara Govindaya Namo Namaha. What is the first? Huh? Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Huh? Vishnam Vande Jagadguru is the last. But it starts with what? Adi Shankaracharya's first one? Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kaunsa Charnurda Vardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadguru. Correct, correct. So I started with that. So then everybody starts saying, yes, yes. If Adi Shankaracharya said that, then it is definitely something. Then the next step, because that way, has anybody got Bhagavad Gita? I don't have here. Bhagavad Gita is there? So in Bhagavad Gita, right in the beginning, Prabhupada has given... thank you very much. Kind. So, right in the beginning, if you see the... introduction. It's so beautiful, this introduction. I have read about 27 times or 30 times. I forget how many times. But he says, in the introduction itself, you must read this Bhagavad Gita introduction thoroughly. Gita Mahatme. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. Eko Mantrasya Namani Yani. Karmya Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva. Ekam Shastram. There is only one Shastra, Adi Shankaracharya says. Ekam Shastram. Given by whom? Devaki Putra Gitam. Devaki had many putras, most of them died, but one survived. So that survival case was Krishna. And he gave a Gita. Of course, he gave two Gitams. Both were very wonderful. One to Arjun, the other to Uddhav. But here it's referring to Devaki Putra Gitam. That is this Bhagavad Gita. Eko Devo. Again, Devaki Putra Eva. As I said in Sanskrit, repeat, repeat means must get in your dull head. The same Devaki Putra, Lord Krishna, he is the only Devo, means the rest are non-Devos. It amounts to that. Amounts to that. When I say to you that Indian rupees signed by the governor of Reserve Bank of India is the only valid currency in India, means yes. So anything else is not valid as currency. You have to deal with that currency, isn't it? It's obvious. I always give the example of rupees because I love rupees. Just, I'm trying to love Krishna, but my old love does not go that easily. Eko mantrasya yani, eko mantrasya tasya namani yani. There's only one mantra, he says. What? The name of Lord Krishna. Namani yani, his name. The one who is specified twice above. Karma ekam tasya devasya seva. There is only one activity you have to do. You have to do seva of Lord Krishna. Who says Adi Shankaracharya? When I told them this, you know, they said, oh, that's right, Shankaracharya did that. I said, what are you guys doing now? So, I mean, this is the most important thing to develop our Krishna consciousness. And thereafter it became very easy, because once you have made the other person say that, yes, this is authority. Final authority is Adi Shankaracharya. Adi Shankaracharya is Param Guru, as far as they are concerned. And I said, he is my Param Guru also, because he says this. So, I established that main aapka wala hoon, aap mera wala hai. Though I was once a Mayavadi, but anyway, what, that's another story. But I, for purposes of preaching, one can use, Rupa Goswami says, isn't it? Rupa Goswami says, don't discard anything. Use everything in the service of Krishna. Use everything in the service of Krishna. So this is the most important thing, that Jat Bharat had forgotten as Bharat. He had wavered from the teachings of his Guru Maharaj, that is his own father. This happens very often, unfortunately. It has happened, Prabhupada himself said, that Maya is so strong and this war against Maya is so powerful that he sent, the Maya sent, she sent, a small little lovely toy-like deer, you see, baby deer, to entice and get this Bharat off course. So Lord Rishabhdev had won, but fortunately that memory was still there, even when he became the deer itself, because his consciousness became deer conscious. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is so important because it changes our consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam is so important because it changes our consciousness. Bhagavad Gita is very important because it brings us to Srimad Bhagavatam. And once having changed our consciousness by Srimad Bhagavatam, what to do? Chaitanya Charitamrita tells us what to do. You see, this is a three-step philosophy. First step, learn. That is Bhagavad Gita. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. Eko Mantrasya Namani Yani. Karmya Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva. Okay, so here's the Seva. Srimad Bhagavatam. Nashta Prayashu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. Isn't it? That is most important shloka in the first canto, right? That is the shloka. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So, we have that. And then, having achieved that, hopefully, Lord Chaitanya, means Lord Krishna, came back and said, okay, guys, if you achieve that, then what do? Then that's the next step, preaching. We have to preach. Otherwise, as a businessman, I have no business being here. I have a business in sitting in an office. But what one has to do is hand over charge to somebody else who will carry on your business, whatever it may be. And for heaven's sake, start preaching in the universities. Because the universities are the most important places. Radhanath Maharaj is very intelligent. He understood that let us preach. In fact, we've got our own little centers in each university. What are they called? Base. Ah, wonderful. So, base. So, at each, I go to these bases. And otherwise, these universities are baseless. So, either they are with base or without base. It's obvious. So, let's be logical about these things. So, Radhanand Maharaj said, let's have a base and not have baseless. So, base, hum log ne rakha hai. Okay. And what happens in a base? Some of the best students, I have been there. So I was there last week, I was invited to talk about astrophysics. So I had to study all my old subjects which I had studied at time of NASA. Because they wanted to know how the rockets flies and this and that. At the end, who was there with me? Where is Krishna Chaitanya? Prabhu is here? No. There is Krishna Chaitanya. Organized that. At the end, several of them were scratching their heads. How did Krishna come in? Into astrophysics. I said, my God, Krishna is going to come into everything. Because he is the father of everything. Of your astrophysics also, isn't it? So, the whole idea was to get them interested, get their full attention for 1 hour. It's not easy for these college students who got so many other things to do. And they're very intelligent, brilliant engineering students because they had to have 90% plus in their 12th to get into that. And in their, our entrance exam. And then they were asking such fantastic questions also. So we can make out that their interest has started. And so this engineering students were interested to know about, one fellow was very keen to know about Journey to Other Planets. I said, you must read that book outside, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Oh, there is an easy journey also and a hard journey. Yes, so far we are doing all the hard journeys. But Prabhupada has given an easy journey. You see? So there are, one is, you know, a small book, this big, which can take you to easy journey to other planets. So you are interested in other planets, that's there. But which planet is the most important? So they didn't know. I said, well, there are planetary systems. Everything has systems. God has created everything by a system. The sunrise is a system. Moonrise is a system. The winter will only come in winter season. Monsoon will come in July, August, like that system. So these are systems. So one must know the system of God, how His mind works. Because we have a mind. And everything we have received is from Krishna. So if you know the Krishna consciousness, then you know His mind also. That's the most important thing. You got the how to open a safe. You got a combination. What these big time crooks do is to somehow or the other open the safe of somebody. So Krishna is offering, this Srimad Bhagavatam is the safe opening, safe in both the sense, money safe as well as priority, it gives us safe position of going back home to Godhead. It's a very good word, safe. So it gives you safe position also that you are saved. And it is the most wonderful thing I see is these brahmacharis. Because they are doing such fantastic service I have seen in our temple. Not because they are all sitting here. But the fact of the matter is that this service which they are doing is the safest route they have got. And if they help grihasthis and take away the grihasthis' money, that would be a very wonderful thing. And use it in the service of Krishna. Because they are not going to use it. Hare Krishna. So brahmacharis have no need for money. So since they don't need that money for themselves, they use it in Krishna's service. And this is the wonderful system. As I said, one must know the system of anything. So this is a system that Radhanath Maharaj has evolved. The brahmacharis don't have to go out to earn money or beg money or anything. So we as grihasthis take care of that. And then they, in turn, utilize it in a proper way. I think my time is well overdue. I can go on for another 1 hour, but I myself have to go out of town. So are there any questions or any comments? Thank you very much. No comments or questions? I must have floored you all. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Prabhuji, you are...